Book of Psalm, chapter 105. Drove to Baton Rouge last night. We had a rehearsal meeting for the retreat coming up next week that I'm working, volunteering for. The man that started us off and led in prayer, he said we could thank God until we run out of breath and we still couldn't scratch the surface of what he's done for us. How many times in prayer do you say, thank you, God, for all you've done for me? You say that? Most of us do, because that's a blanket for all the things that we can't remember, the things that we can't name, the things that we can't list. We know that God blesses us even whenever we don't know it. He kept us out of trouble and kept this from hitting us and this from hurting us whenever we didn't even see it coming. God takes care of us. God blesses us sometimes when we're aware of it, sometimes when he's not. And we can sit there and thank him from now until he takes us home or sends his son back. And it still wouldn't be enough. Can we agree on that? God's been too good for us for us to be able to say thank you enough. So what do you do whenever thank you's not enough? What do? Whenever thank you is not enough for your husband, for your wife. Whenever I love you is not sufficient. Because sometimes it's not. Sometimes thank you is just a shadow of the way that you feel, of the way that you of what you really want to get across. Sometimes words don't do it. You got to show them. You got to prove it. Because we can say thank you and then turn around and go about our day. And sometimes the words carry weight, sometimes they don't. Whenever God said that he loved us, he proved it. He continues to prove it. Psalm 105 is about God's care of his people. And the psalmist here goes through and lists the things that God did. Makes mention of them specifically and purposely, how God blessed the children of Israel, how God took care of them. And he begins this psalm by saying, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name and make known his deeds among the people. I'm not entirely sure. I'm sure I've read this psalm a time or two, because I've done a couple of them read through the Bibles in a year thing. So I know that I've read over this scripture before. But I never caught the tail end of verse 1. It said, make known his deeds among the people. Whenever we talk about witnessing for God and living for Christ, we seldom, especially in witnessing and sharing and testifying to others, we seldom think that this is one way that we do it. That we let other people know what God has done for us in our life beyond Christ. He did a lot whenever he sent Jesus. He did an awful lot. But he didn't stop there. And I guess that's what I read in this psalm the most, is that he didn't stop with, I love you. He didn't stop with, I'm going to save you. He didn't stop with, here is my only begotten son, my prized possession, that I'm going to torture, that I'm going to whip, that I'm going to mistreat, that I'm going to turn my back on, that I'm going to allow to bear your sins. Here he is, because I love you that much, Brad Cooper. And I get that. But God did not stop there. He continued, and he still continues. And one thing that I believe that I may have mentioned it during Easter, I think I did. Whenever they went to crucify the Christ, and Pilate said, "Do you think I ought to release Barabbas to you?" And the people said, "Release him." He said, "What about Jesus? What about this just man? What about this man that I find no fault in?" And they said, "Crucify him." And what did Pilate do? Took a bowl of water, washed his hands, said, "I'm innocent of this just man's blood. His blood is not on my hands." What did the people say? His blood should be on who? On our children. And on our children's children. Several times throughout the Old Testament, God visits consequences on generations to come. That should frighten us. Because God is good to us. God blesses us. And whenever we refuse to deny ourselves, whenever we get built up in pride and we dishonor the name of God, whenever we prioritize everything else in this world over Him, whenever we ignore Him, whenever we say, "God, this basketball game is more important than you, this football game is more important than you, this movie on Hallmark Channel is more important than you," whenever we say that I have a headache, I'm just not going to go to church this morning. Do you believe that Jesus' head was hurting by the time they got through whooping and beating and pulling and spitting and on Him? Probably was, and that's a very crude example, but what does it take to stop us from worshiping, from witnessing for, and for giving thanks to God? Where is our line? Everybody has one. Where's your line? Because there comes a point for most people that you're gonna stop most things. When I was in, I don't know, maybe in high school, Buffalo Wild Wings ran this special, not Buffalo Wild Wings, TGI Fridays. They ran this special where you could get unlimited appetizers, right? Y'all remember that? It's the reason TGI Fridays went out of business. So they had TGI Fridays in Hattiesburg. And me and Emily I was in college, right after we started dating. We went up there with Trey and Bethany and then Hunter, who wasn't seeing anybody at the time. There was five of us, and we all went up there. Well, the stipulation on the rules of the special was everybody has to order something. Well, the appetizers were like $15 a piece if you got the unlimited appetizer. So three of us got an unlimited appetizer. The other two just ordered a side. I think Bethany got mac and cheese, and Emily got, corn or something. But the endless appetizers is where we were really going to, that's where we was really going to get them. We was going to fill up. This might as well be a buffet. And then at the end of the night, we'll split the check five ways and move on. So we commenced to eating. And one of them was the little pot stickers, the pork dumplings. Another was cheese sticks, and another was chicken wings. And we commenced to eating. And as we were eating, they steady bringing more and bringing more and bringing more and taking old plates and bringing more and bringing more. And I tell you what, we did some eating that night. But there came a time when we were done. It was a long time. And they went in the hole on that special that night. But there came a time where they brought that plate of chicken wings and set it in the middle of the table. And instead of everybody reaching for it all at once, we all sat there and looked at it. And then we looked at each other and said, "I don't think I can do one more. Somebody else eat. I don't think I can do another one." That there comes a place where we are finished. We're not going to go any further. We're not going to continue. We're not going to keep eating. We're not going to keep going. We're not going to keep running. We're not going to keep fighting. There comes a place where to keep going is going to cost us more than we are willing to pay. Does that make sense? There comes a point with most things that to continue is going to cost us more than we are willing to pay. Where is that line whenever it comes to living for God? Because as you read down through chapter 105, he talks about pulling them out of. Now he starts with Abraham. He talks about Joseph. He talks about the children of Israel in Egyptian captivity. He talks about the plagues and goes through each one of them. And he says in verse 38 that Egypt was glad when they departed, and the fear of the Lord, a fear of them, fell upon them. It talked about how he put the cloud of and fire to guide them. He talked about the rock whenever the rock opened up. The psalmist here is witnessing of God's greatness in his life. For most of us, our place that we stop serving God is the threshold of that door out there. Because to take God out into a world that hates him is uncomfortable. But I want to go from verse 1 to verse 45, and I want to read both of those verses just for a minute, if you'll bear with me. Verse number 1 says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, and make his deeds known, make known his deeds among the people." Go to verse 45. "That they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord." That's the reason. He didn't say make known his deeds in the world among the people. That is a distinct group. That is a that is a specific people. The people, the children of Israel, among your congregation, among your brothers and sisters, among your family, among your friends, among the people that you come in contact with. That is who we are to make the goodness of God, the greatness of God known before, known in front of. And how do we do it? We do it exactly the way the psalmist did it. Of course, we're not going to use the plagues because we didn't live through that well. We lived through the swine flu and the COVID flu and the murder hornets and what else. Start listing them off. God has brought us through some crazy times. God has brought our families through some difficult times. And he did that for a reason. Brother Brent Thomas stood up here a couple of weeks ago and said that his accident gave him a testimony. Our testimonies may not be coming out of something that severe, but our trials give us a testimony. Our problems, our weights, our tribulations, our tests, they give us a testimony. It's in here somewhere. Let's see if I can find it really quick. It was referring to Joseph. Verse 18, maybe? Okay, verse 18. Talking about Joseph, he said, "Whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron." Verse 19, "Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him." The word of the Lord came to him and God proved him. God tested him. God allowed them to put him in chains. He allowed him to sell him out of his family. He allowed him to be thrown in prison. He allowed him to be a slave. He allowed him to be forgotten. And through all of this, it seemed like it was bad shape until the time that the word came. In verse 21, it said he made him lord over his house and the ruler over his substances. God came and restored him. God brought him from a place of test and a place of building and a place of, "I'm going to make you a fisher of men," into a man to bring his son through the lineage of. A man to sustain his chosen people. A man to be used in a great way. But it came at a price. And I guess that's the point that I'm trying to make tonight. In a very, very roundabout way. That living for God comes at a price. We are to witness to others. We are to give thanks unto others. We are to share our testimony with others. That they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. What has God done in your life that could be a blessing to others? Emily and I got married in 2017. We were living in Pine. We both were working at Varnado. We had good jobs. We had finished remodeling the house, and we wanted to have a kid a year after a year or so after we got married. So in 2018, started trying to have a kid. And if it could have went wrong, it did. And the whole time, all I could think is, God's not listening. God's not paying attention. One of the Psalms says that the children are a good thing, like arrows in the quiver of a mighty man. That we are supposed to be fruitful and multiply. That is the goal, that is the point. In 2019, I found myself in a very, 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 very bad place. I've never found myself there since, and it scares me that I was there. But I found myself in a place that I didn't want to be. Period. I didn't want to be. If we couldn't have a kid, I didn't want to be. I had a loving wife. She had a great job. I had a great job. I had kids at school that I loved that were doing great, that helped me out a lot. I had a church that I loved. Pastor that I confided in. That we knew loved us. But the whole time my eyes was on everything but what God has done for me. My thoughts was, look what God's not doing in my life. Look what I need, look what I want, and look what God is not allowing me to have. And that is the only thing that I could think of for well over a year. I was mad at God. I was mad at everybody, everything. And I was in a really, really bad place. And I was down in the chicken pen, and Emily come flying in with a pregnancy test. It says positive. Over the moon. Absolutely 100% over the moon. 3 years in. Finally, we have one that's positive. You know what I never did do? Never did thank God. I didn't. We celebrated. We cheered. We hugged each other. We were excited. Whenever I prayed that night, I said, thank you, God. A lot of times we thank God for the results and we don't thank Him for the journey that got us there. In the last 2 years, God has used that piece of my testimony in my life to be a blessing to others. And it's not anything that I could do. Like I said, I'm absolutely, completely, and totally ashamed of where I ended up. But God used that to be a blessing to other people. And the thing about it is all I was thankful for was that positive pregnancy test. That was it. Whenever God brings us on a journey that we don't understand, there's a reason. There's a reason that the children of Israel had to wander through the wilderness. There's a reason that Joseph had to go on that. How long was he from the time that they sold him to the time that he was Pharaoh's right hand? Y'all remember? Scratching their head. We need a Sunday school teacher in here. That's what we need. 20, 30 some odd years? 30 some odd years he prepared Joseph for where he was going to take him, for what he was going to do for him. And we have a hard time, and then we sit back and we struggle with a year, with 2 years, and then we forget to thank him for the journey that he brought us on. We're thankful for the results. On Sunday, everybody stood up and thanked God for the church, for the building. It's a great building. It really is. Everybody did a good job. There's a lot of work put into it, a lot of hours put into it. But if we only thank God for allowing us to complete the building project, then we have missed the bigger point. The reason that the psalmist said to remind them of the deeds that God has done is because that testimony is what's going to help. That journey is what's going to help somebody else. Because if I've learned one thing in the last several months, it's that there is no one ever, anywhere, no matter where you're at, what season of your life you're in, you are not in any kind of trouble that someone else hasn't already been through and that someone else isn't struggling with right now. And your testimony can help them. Your testimony can be a blessing to them. Your testimony of that journey that God took you on before you got to that destination, that journey is growth. It may not feel like it. It may feel like you're getting whooped on by Muhammad Ali. It's what it feels like most of the time. But that journey is what we should be grateful for, as well as the results. Thank God for the building, but thank God for the spiritual growth. Thank God for the building, but thank God for the souls that's been saved along the way. Thank God for the journey, not just the destination. Remember all that He's done for us and all that He's going to do. Share that with others so that you might be a blessing. And the last verse, I want to go read that one more time, if I can find it in my Bible. Psalm 105, verse 45. Share your testimony. Share God's deeds, God's blessings. Share your journeys with others so that they may see God, so that they might observe His statutes and keep His laws. Praise ye the Lord. Don't we have something to praise Him for? Even if we were still in the fellowship hall, wouldn't we still have something to praise Him for? Wouldn't we still have something to thank Him for? Did y'all not hear Heidi sit up here and play the piano? It really worries me that there aren't very many young people that play the piano. I heard a lady say years ago, there was an old lady playing piano in that particular church. And she said, if somebody don't teach their youngins how to play, we're going to have to sell the piano. Not long after that, the old lady died. And they took and threw a sheet over the piano. Quit being used. And I think we have at least four, maybe five in the churches. Musically inclined, talented. We have a lot to thank God for. The psalmist says, praise ye the Lord. Give Him thanks. Well, we have a verse of a song. I'm going to ask a verse of memory.